Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to REITs to Riches. I'm Michelle Martin. Ever wish you had a guide to get going with the real estate investment trusts you've heard a lot about, but you're not quite sure how to get started with? And of course, you want REITs that bring you good dividends, but how do you screen for those? Over the next 3 weeks in this series, REITs to Riches, I'm going to look at what you need to know before you buy your first REIT, how to screen REITs for profit, and how to navigate your REITs journey for long-term success. Joining me is Kelvin Seto. He's co-author of Value Investing, Expand Your Circle of Competence, which is a good book to pick up as a guide to this conversation, which will stretch over 3 weeks. Kelvin, thank you for being here. So today we're going to cover a REITs 101 crash course. We want the listener to understand what a REIT is, how it works, and why they should be invested in the first place when it comes to investing in REITs. So first up, Kelvin, I have to start with a what is the REIT, because we've done shows where halfway we realize people don't understand what we're talking about. So what is a REIT?
Hey, Michelle, I'm really excited to be here. And that's actually a very excellent question. So a REIT is essentially what we call the real estate investment trust. So you got that absolutely right. If you strip it down, all the technical stuff, it's really about a group of investors coming together, pulling their millions of dollars together and purchasing multiple properties. And subsequently, these properties could be shopping malls, could be office complex, could be even hospitals. And they will start collecting rental from their tenant. And after collecting all this rental, guess what? They actually distribute maybe 90% to 100% to its original owners who invested into the property. So it's actually that simple.
Okay, simple for you. For the listener, I have to let you know that Kelvin achieved financial independence when he was 24 through investing, which he taught himself. So might seem simple to him, may not be so simple to the rest of us. Let's go with a commonly asked question, Kelvin. I hear you can own multiple properties under $300, that being Singapore dollars. How do you do that?
Well, I think you can actually do it by through investing in REITs. Okay, so REITs, for example, we talk about a common shopping mall that we know. Perhaps you talk about Raffles City, you talk about Tampines Mall, perhaps even talking about Bedok Mall or Junction 8. These malls are actually owned by one common entity, which is Capital Mall Trust, and it is a REIT itself. So think about it. Every single time if you actually shop, you are actually contributing to the tenant, and the tenant will actually pay the rental to the REIT owner. So usually if you think that, hey, Junction 8 is a good mall to own, or you think that, hey, Bedok Mall is a good mall to own, you could actually go to buy 100 shares of Capital Land Mall Trust that would only cost you about $245. And you see, just at a very low amount of money, at $245, you are actually ineffectively actually owning multiple properties. And when all these tenants start to pay their rental every month, you know, it's actually all put together. And eventually, all this rental that's being collected will be distributed to you every quarterly.
That sounds good. Tell me, another common question is, what is the difference between a REIT and a trust? You mentioned Capital Mall Trust.
Exactly. Okay, so this is something that for all the listeners out there, this is really important. A REIT is required to distribute like 90% of its income. All right. So in a way, you are protected because whatever that they have earned from the tenant, they have to distribute out to you. So they can't keep a big chunk of it. Whereas if you are buying into a trust, I think the concern is that they are not obliged to give 90% of the distribution income to you. So if you would really want to buy for dividend purpose to collect a passive income, I would strongly advise you to buy a REIT and not a trust, and because it's much safer and you can be assured that you are actually getting your passive income on a quarterly basis.
You're listening to REITs to Riches, and we're discussing REITs. This is REITs 101, what you need to understand before you invest in your first REIT. And speaking of first REIT, just last month, Indonesia's biggest property and retail conglomerate, Lippo Karawaci, was mired, you know, corruption scandal. They suffered a series of credit downgrades. Investors were shorting the bonds, dumping shares, halving its market capitalization in the space of about 12 months. Lippo shares shares have surged by about 30% over the past 2 months. There's been ongoing reorganization, and it's been helped by a $1 billion US rights offer that was used to pay off debt. And there have been pledges to boost governance as well. So it is in the midst of reorganization. Are there lessons from what's happened so far to Indonesia's biggest property and retail conglomerate for investors in REITs?
I guess the very important thing when we are investing in a REIT is that, hey, a REIT does own multiple properties. And a REIT is supposed to have a diverse group of tenants, right? But I think in the unique case of First REIT, you think about it, 80% of their income actually comes from one single entity, which is Lippo Karawaci. And that itself could be very dangerous, because if Lippo Karawaci is unable to resolve its debt issue right now, and they may run into a situation where they can't be able to pay rental to First REIT. And, you know, hey, if today I'm thinking I'm a First REIT a shareholder, I own shares in First REIT, I would be extremely concerned, because if 80% of my rental income is not coming through, that would mean that the REIT is not going to collect a sufficient dividends, and hence the dividends that I'm going to collect will be actually be impacted negatively as well. So ultimately, I think what's the key lesson we can take away from this is that whenever you buy a REIT, it's so important that we look out for a REIT that has multiple tenant, and we do not want to have tenant concentration risk. In the case of First REIT, it's about 80% coming from Lippo Karawaci.
Kelvin Sito, who achieved financial independence at the age of 24, is here to share all he knows about REITs, not just in one episode. We're going to be talking to him over 3 weeks. In this particular episode, we're learning about everything you need to know before you buy your first REIT. Kelvin, when it comes to managing REITs, is it difficult? Is it time-consuming? Do you need someone to help you manage your REITs?
For many people, REITs may seem a bit daunting, but it's really very simple and intuitive, because unlike businesses whereby it could be very complex, you have sales, marketing, you have global expansion, you have products or whatnot, right? But when you look at REITs, essentially it's just a group of properties, and every month they collect rental income from their tenant. So it's actually a fairly simple structure. And I guess if we would really want to do more work on understanding whether a REIT is performing well or not, one of the simplest things that you could do is to go to a REIT website, find out what are the properties that the REIT is owning, and really go to the mall itself. So for example, I live in Tampines, and I frequent Tampines Mall quite often.
So do I.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, I know that Tampines Mall is very crowded. And when it's crowded, I know for sure that the tenant are making good money. And as long as the tenant are making good money, they have the ability to pay rental. And as long as the rental is being collected, if I am the REIT holder of maybe Tampines Mall, I'll be assured that the money is definitely coming in every quarterly, and the money is unlikely to see a drop in it.
Remind us of how much in terms of percentage of taxable income a REIT is required to distribute.
A REIT is required to distribute 90% of their income to you, but to the shareholders, correct. But if you receive dividends, well, in Singapore, we are pretty lucky. We do not have to pay taxes on our dividends. We do not have to pay taxes on our capital appreciation as well.
How can investor choose a good REIT manager if they think, okay, I need someone to help me assess, keep track of my REITs? What should they be looking out for?
Well, I guess a REIT manager is essential, because ultimately they are the ones that are managing the property. They will try to maximize your returns by buying good properties to enhance the returns that you will get. So for example, we really have to look at their track record and tenure. If you look at this particular REIT called the Fraser Centrepoint Trust, it's managed by this individual called Mr. Chu. He has been at this job for close to, I guess, more than 6 years. And you can see that over the years, he has been purchasing very good properties at very, very reasonable prices. So you do not really want to have a REIT manager that purchase properties at very high prices or sell existing properties at very low prices. And for example, if you look at maybe CapitaLand Mall Trust, I think the REIT manager did a good job because he kind of foresee that the Funan mall may be losing its luster, its glory, and he actually chose to make a decision to re-renovate it. And you know, in the coming few months, you go to the Funan mall, you'll see an absolutely different mall. And that will actually attract more tenant, and that would actually attract higher rental as well, and that would help the REIT.
He's Kelvin Sito, co-author of Value Investing, Expand Your Circle of Competence, with me on REITs to Riches. I'm Michelle Martin. This is REITs 101, everything you need to know before you get started investing in REITs. Are there REITs that are more recession-proof than others?
Yeah, Michelle, so there are some REITs that are more recession-proof. So just give you some, the listeners, a broad stroke of what are the different kind of REITs. So you have industrial, you have healthcare, you have commercial, you have hospitality and retail. So I guess, you know, in my personal opinion, I think that the industrial and commercial REITs are the two of the riskiest because when it comes to economic downturn, companies may close down unfortunately, so warehouse could be vacant, certain office space could be vacant as well. So what it means is that the income that the mall owner is going to collect is much lesser. So that will actually impact you if you're owning some of the properties in the area.
What am I actually buying if I buy into a healthcare REIT like Parkway REIT or Gleneagles, Mount Elizabeth?
All right. So there's this REIT that a lot of Singaporeans really like. It's called the Parkway REIT.
Mm-hmm.
So Parkway REIT consists of several properties, but more of the common ones that we know are Mount Elizabeth, Gleneagles. So to me, I find that to be a very safe REIT because regardless of economic conditions, it's human nature to still fall sick and we still need to see doctor once in a while. And people still do give birth, right? So hospitals will always see a constant demand for their services. And hence, you know, hospitals will not be affected during crisis and they will still be in a position to continue paying rental.
Mm.
So if today I'm owning maybe Parkway Life REIT, I will never be worried if today I'm going to collect lesser dividends on a quarterly basis because I know this REIT is going to be very safe. But there's one more REIT that I really like as well. It's what I call the retail REIT. So if I talk to you about this company called Fraser Centrepoint Trust, they own very good heartland malls such as UT Point, Causeway Point, and Bedok Point as well. And all these shopping malls, you know, the way I think about it, even during crisis, people will still have to go out to enjoy themselves, to maybe spend some money. And heartland malls tend to be very resilient even during a downturn. So, I mean, to keep it really short, I think you go for the retail REITs and also healthcare REITs. Those are better options. And I think you can sleep more peacefully at night.
So you're a value investor. You know, when it comes to retail REITs and malls and revenue, you make a very good point that people need to spend money. You know, to feel good, you go to a mall and you have dinner. It's a celebration. But, you know, if you think long term and holding it long term, we're seeing more people move away from brick and mortar, buying online, right? Not really shopping as much as they used to. Is that something a REIT investor in malls should be thinking about?
I think that's a valid point. And REIT managers tend to be more proactive. They actually are very forward-looking. So some of the malls that we see, I think they move away from services. They are more focusing on F&B. So today, I guess there's just a different feeling from eating at home and eating out with a group of friends. So they are actually adjusting their tenant profile to be one that is more resilient. For example, some malls, they actually do away with electronics. I mean, tenants that are in the electronic space because they feel that if the tenant is not good, eventually they move out of the shopping mall. They actually put more F&B tenant because those are more resilient and people still have celebrations, birthday parties, and these are really occasions to celebrate, and these are, you know, F&B are places where you go to celebrate as well.
You're listening to REITs to Riches, the first of a three-part series to get you going investing in REITs. Kelvin Sito is my guest. I'm Michelle Martin. Kelvin, how are the interests of REITs really safeguarded?
Well, I guess REITs are actually pretty much protected. So, for example, MAS, which is a Monetary Authority of Singapore, actually stepped in with a law that says that, hey, a REIT couldn't borrow more than 45% of the total assets. So you can be assured that a REIT will never be in a position where it's taking up too much debt to buy properties. So the properties are all purchased with a very reasonable amount of debt, not excessive debt. And I guess one of the things that I want to mention over here is that a REIT actually is managed by a few entities, but I just want to talk about two very important entities over here. Number one is the property manager, and number two is the trustee. So as you guess, a property manager does a very important thing such as maintenance of the mall to ensure it's clean, you know, and also collecting the rental income as well. But trustee actually is also very important because they are the ones that ensure that the REIT structure is being met. So, for example, if you have certain laws, certain regulations that a REIT structure has to be complied with, you know, a trustee does that on the behalf of all the shareholders. So that's how I think the interest of shareholders of a REIT is safeguarded.
Next time in REITs to Riches, how do you check the debt for a REIT? Why is understanding yield accretive acquisition important? Debt maturity profile, does this all sound like gobbledygook to you? Or do you think these are very important terms that investors need to understand? We certainly think so, and we hope you will join us next time in REITs to Riches right here on Money FM 89.3. He's Kelvin Sito. I'm Michelle Martin. Thanks for your company.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.